This morning, we are very lucky to have Liz Pierce, whose program is entitled Jack of All Trades, Master of None. She has always found joy in variety, but after a childhood playing every instrument she was allowed to lay hands on, she now works primarily as a vocalist. Over the past decade, Liz has begun to incorporate instrumental music into her practice again, which has provided deeply meaningful experiences and a deeper sense of community for her, both in Winona and in the larger musical Pickwick. When she's not touring with Quince Ensemble of Vocal Quartet or Damselfly Trio with flute harp, Liz is either performing locally, teaching her wonderful voice students at Winona State University, or practicing her newest love, the accordion. So also she will be doing the musical meditation at the end, and then we'll have a moment of silence. Liz?
Hi. So I'm not a philosopher. I'm not a deep thinker in a lot of different ways, but I am a musician. And I'm here today to kind of talk about my experience as a musician and how what I would start with is singing, because that's primarily what I do, and I'm much more comfortable doing that than talking. So, I would like to sing a song. You know what? I'm just going to bring this down there and do it from down there. Because I have the mic. This is mostly just so you know what I'm singing. This is a piece by New Hampshire-based composer Gilda Lyons. Every day our name is changed. Say stones colliding into waves. Glory. Our names on the shore, say waves colliding into storms, birds over water call their names to each other again and again to say where they are. Where have you been? My small bird, I know our names will change one day to stones in a field of anemones. So what I've been really interested in for a long time is why I feel like I don't fit in. and I want to kind of take a bit of a journey through my musical life. So I like saying I was sort of born to play. This is a Polaroid from when I was pretty young. My dad played piano. We had a piano in the house. And so some of my earliest memories are sitting at a tiny toy piano next to my dad, who's playing the real one. And I can't imagine how annoying that actually was. But I wanted to play. I wanted to make noises. Most of my toys as a kid were either medical toys. My mom was a nurse, and I wanted to be a neonatologist. I learned that word when I was about 4. A baby doctor is a neonatologist. And so half of my toys were like the little stethoscope set, and the other half were the tiny xylophone, the Fisher-Price horn set, where you can make a slide whistle or a kazoo slide whistle. And that kind of graduated to getting to take piano lessons when I was pretty young. I think I started when I was 8. And I have a lot of gratitude to my parents for allowing me to do these things, for supporting me in finding a teacher that was not abusive, finding a teacher that was really great with kids, and encouraging. When I saw an episode of Sesame Street when I was 3 or 4, I think it might have been either John Candy or Richard Stoltzman playing the clarinet, saying, "I want to do that." And when I was 10, them remembering that and encouraging me to join band, and my birthday present that year was my first clarinet. And I was obsessed. I wanted to play, I wanted to practice. I remember fighting with my siblings over who got to practice piano. I think that might be a little bit odd. It was never a chore. It was always something we wanted to do. But I couldn't stick to just one instrument. Most kids are like, okay, I have my band instrument and I'm done. Sometimes they'll also play piano. I did that. I also sang in church and elsewhere. And the moment I saw a new instrument that looked interesting, that's what I wanted to do. I saw a saxophone. I want to play that. So now I'm playing barry sax in jazz band. Nobody else wanted to play bass clarinet, so I'm playing bass clarinet. And I went to Aquinas down in La Crosse, Wisconsin. It was a small program at the time, and I got all of these chances to play the instruments that nobody else wanted to play. And finding instruments that were hanging out in my family's attic. There was a trumpet one summer. There was a violin for a year, but I started violin way too late. And I knew how bad I sounded, and I did not want to practice. So I did not get any better at violin. Going through school, I got better. Mrs. Williams is in her 90s, living out on French Island, and was the toughest teacher I ever had. Don't think I have sound on my computer today, but I wanted to show just a little bit of a moment in my life that meant... That was big for me. There's high school Liz. I'm going to put this to the laptop for a minute. A friend was kind enough to take this video for me, or sent it to me. His daughter was playing flute in the ensemble. And when I watch this now, you know, I hear the mistakes I made. I also see how excited I was to get to play a concerto with the youth symphony I worked with for years. And I'm only going to play a little bit longer, because what I also get to watch in this video, about to scroll through, there's a blonde child in the background playing timpani, who's my baby brother, who's also now a professional musician. There he goes. And then the flute player in the background is Tara Kelly, who is a performer who I've sung with at the Shrine down in La Crosse, Wisconsin for a couple years. And the cellist in the front is Tim Rusterholz, the son of the Rusterholz conducting family, who is also a professional musician. So I see these people that Youth Symphony was the best 3 hours of my week as a kid. I got to play cool orchestral music. I got to see people who are the other orchestra dorks in town, and I didn't know when I went to school, we didn't have an orchestra like this. We didn't have an orchestra at all. We had a very small band with kind of few kids who were excited about playing, and so I kind of felt like a misfit. And then I had this amazing experience because of Youth Symphony. I went to a music camp right before my senior year of high school and was around all sorts of orchestra nerds for the first time for a month. And I was so scared going there because I'd never really had friends in school. I never really felt like I fit in. And suddenly I had all of these people who understood what I cared about it as much as I did. And we all had this amazing community. And because of that summer at camp and because of my experience with Youth Symphony, I decided that I didn't want to be a neonatologist. I wanted to be a performer. I wanted to be a musician. And I found out for the first time that you could do that in college. Together, I auditioned and I went to a university. I went to Indiana University in Bloomington, Indiana. I started out as a music ed major. I thought I was going to be teaching kids. I was excited about it. I was forced to be in the marching band, which was a new experience for me. And I found out very quickly at school that I was not cut out to be an orchestral clarinetist. I'm not a good advertisement for what I'm about to say, but I don't like wearing black all the time. which orchestra clarinetists, you practice a lot. It's very isolating. You audition a lot, and it's a high level of perfection in a very small realm of things. And at the time, I didn't see any other career paths as a clarinetist. And I was taking voice lessons because I was a music education student who wanted to also teach choir. And I had a lot of fun singing, and I got to tell stories. And so I re-auditioned and became a voice major instead. But I stayed in marching band. I played sousaphone for a year, which you can't really see the picture, and that was my clarinet crew. And I played baritone for 1 year in the Indiana University Marching 100. I was a rookie 3 times. But all of this, you know, it seemed like a distraction at the time, or I talk about it as if it was a distraction at the time from what I was supposed to be doing, which is singing. But I think back now, and those experiences and the friends I made in that band, I still talk to some of these people. In fact, one of the clarinetists that I was friends with in marching band unearthed these 20-something-year-old photos the other day, and we had a little party on Facebook tagging these people who hadn't seen these photos or hadn't thought about any of this in decades, and the sense of community that's so immediate and still there. Maybe it's trauma bonding from standing in the bleachers for many hours watching a losing football team, but it meant a lot, and it still means a lot that I made these connections with people. So I was a voice major. I graduated as one, and I took a couple years to figure out what was next, which I thought, again, I think I want to be a teacher. So I went back into a music education degree as a grad student, and it became clear a second time that that was not the right path for me. I am terrified of being in a classroom full of children. They have so much power, and I have such thin skin. I've seen back then, and even in my younger sister, who was a music educator for a number of years, the kind of fortitude, intelligence, and absolute skill it takes to be in a room full of kids all day. And I did not have any of that. but I did like performing, and I did like working with adults. So that meant I got to keep going to school to become a doctor, not a neonatologist, but a doctor of music, so I can teach at the college level. And meanwhile, I got to sing in a number of different operatic productions, silly costumes, which is super fun. I don't do much opera anymore, but I have, along the way, through grad school, through other experiences, made a lot of connections with friends in music. Mainly, I work with a vocal quartet, which are the folks top right. We took our last set of headshots in Pickwick, actually. That's on the bridge at the T intersection by the mill. And I've made these deep, lasting, long friendships as a singer and as a performer. And I think a lot about, you know, I'm not wealthy. Musicians generally don't make a lot of money. But I have such a rich life with these people that I've worked with, that I've put my trust in, my faith in, have shared a stage which if you haven't had to be in a high-pressure environment with just a couple other people that you're relying on them to do their job very well, otherwise we're all going to look kind of silly, that's some trust. And I trust all of these women, on in these photos, and my baby brother with my life. What else do I got? So we have some sounds. The video is not really playing, so I'm going to just keep going for now. There we go. So through my doctoral degree, I was supposed to write a dissertation. Who here has ever had to write a really long paper or do a giant project of that variety? Okay, who here procrastinated on that project for a couple years? Yeah, I saw some hands go down. You guys are great. I'm of the procrastinator group. I'm glad that I did. My original topic, which was going to be contemporary voice pedagogy, is a little bit broad. There's a lot. It's bigger than a dissertation. But this piece by a California-based composer, Roger Reynolds, fell into my lap. And it was as if it was tailor-made for me and for me to write about, because it's a work for singer who also plays piano. And part of what I've always done and what I've always kind of hidden from my professional life is that I play piano and sing. I self-accompany, which in every other field of music other than the classical realm is totally normal. You have Elton John, you have Nina Simone, you have Alicia Keys, you have Aretha Franklin, you have everybody. All of these people play piano and sing at the same time. But about 100 years ago, and this piece by Roger Reynolds just kind of popped up. And so I think my favorite part of this piece, or favorite aspect of this piece, is that the composer was inspired, among other things, by the vocal work of Mel Blanc. Who here knows who Mel Blanc is? Who here has watched like Looney Tunes cartoons? Bugs Bunny. Bugs Bunny's voice and most of those voices were all done by Mel Blanc. So this idea of modifying your voice for different purposes. The problem is he didn't give you any specifics as to what he wanted. He just said, it can't sound normal. So, the idea of eternal return is a mysterious one. To think that everything recurs as we once experienced it recurs, and that the recurrence itself recurs ad infinitum. To think that it is recur, a terrifying prospect. To think that in the world of eternal return, the weight of responsibility lies heavy on every move, everything we make. Das größte Schwergewicht. A life that disappears once and for all, that does not return, is then little without return weight. So he plays around with these different levels of speaking and singing and transitional passages that I had a lot of fun with. And this project turned into more a bigger thing than I thought it was going to, in that I asked this composer, who's very fancy, if I could write about him, and he sent me an email back saying, can you provide me with some evidence of who you are? Which is intimidating. And so I did, and he gave me permission to study him, to come to his house and take pictures of his compositional notebooks, which really helped in analyzing the piece and writing a dissertation about it. But it was the first sort of really affirming moment of, I can do this. I can play piano and sing in public, and it's not, as some scholars have called it, a novelty. It really is a thing that one could do, and it's something that I've started doing much more in public. I've commissioned a number of songs for myself to play and sing. the first big batch of which I call my Animal Songs Project. They're all songs about animals because animals fascinate me, and it's nice to have songs that are not about love or sad love or just sadness. There are so many of those, and actually this has kind of helped in my professional work with my students, because my students, I will ask them, like, what do you want to sing about? What interests you? What sort of topics? And some would say, I don't want to sing about love. Are there other songs out there? I'm like, in fact, yes. And I share your enthusiasm. I hope this is allowed. A very short plug for a free concert I'm giving in a couple weeks down in La Crosse as a benefit for the Cooley Region Humane Society. I'm performing, and so the one I'm going to do down in La Crosse in a couple weeks at 3 p.m. on the 16th at Capella, any donations made at the concert, which is otherwise free, will go directly to the Cooley Region Humane Society. Kids are welcome, because I think most of these songs are child appropriate. I would love to sing a couple of them for you now, and one of them is in French. So there's the translation, and the other one is not in French, but I don't want to spoil the surprise. Just know that the text is all taken from a web forum about fish tank people. Anyone here a professional aquarist, a professional fish keeper? No? Well, you're going to learn some things today. But there are also a number of safety concerns to be aware of when keeping a fish tank. The food you feed your freshwater fish will determine their health and vitality. If you want to select a high-quality commercial food for your aquarium fish, you should understand how to interpret a fish food label. Will algae wafers make my tank water cloudy? To raise baby fish successfully, you will need to use the right food. You may not realize that your fish can suffer from constipation. The name pufferfish conjures an image of a balloon-like animal, but these fish are so much more than their comical appearance. The composer, Fred Gifford, really likes found texts, and I'm really glad he found that one, because it's very fun. Let's see, what else I got? Oh, I'm towards the end. So, as I kind of mentioned, by doing all of these different things, I found a sense of community that I don't think I would have had otherwise. I just actually presented on self-accompaniment at a song conference in Eugene, Oregon last weekend, and it was enlightening how many people were like, I hadn't considered that was a thing people could do. Or they do it privately in their homes. And you know, finding a community of self-accompanying singers. I want there to be more of them. I've had a couple students who've done it, and I'm really, really glad to have the chance to support them and encourage them in these wide musical pursuits. We live in a sort of a specialist society in music where your personality is your instrument, or your instrument is your personality. I am an oboist. I do oboe things. I'm a pianist. I do pianist things, which is sit in a room for many hours a day. I'm a singer, so I'm chatty. A year ago, I added another instrument, accordion, Hugowolf. So I'm going to put the Hugowolf on right now, but I will be playing that as the meditation at the end. I just thought I'd share a little bit of accordion with you because somebody asked me to, and yes. I'm the newest member of the Tri-State Accordion Club down in La Crosse, and I met some really wonderful folks that if I hadn't picked up this instrument, I would never have known these awesome people. So I don't know if I really have a summary other than if you feel called to do something that is maybe not entirely aligned with what you thought your purpose was, it might be okay. It might be exactly what you're supposed to be doing. I can't imagine life without all of the experiences I've had and the community I'm joining here in the here as an adult. I was a child musician when I left La Crosse, and I come back as a member of the Winona State community with a lot of students who are going to become teachers. I work with the La Crosse Wind Symphony. I have a concert with them at 3 today as a clarinetist, hence the concert black. I can manage it sometimes, just not every day. And accordion club and all of these other sort of experiences that I would never have had if I'd said to myself earlier, I gotta limit it to one or two. So I will leave you with that, and this is Hugo Wolf's Verschwiegene Liebe. Great. I sought out teachers. We live in a time now where you can look on YouTube and find tutorials for about anything, but I would much rather learn from a human being. As a clarinetist, I learned from a teacher down in La Crosse, Ruth Williams. For piano, I learned Mrs. Erickson down in La Crosse, and then various teachers over time. When I was given an accordion about a year ago, I Googled accordion, La Crosse, Winona, and Ron Reimer poked up. He's the accordionist with Under Paris Skies, and he plays around Winona and La Crosse a lot. He lives down in Ettrick. Always from teachers. Or, you know, picking up an instrument, kind of seeing if I can figure it out, but then learning all of the other tricks and actual technique from somebody who's better at it than I am.
As opposed to performing and practicing.
Sure. I teach about 8 hours a week. I'm an adjunct faculty at Winona, and I teach only applied voice, which means I don't have to grade papers. I work one-on-one with students, which is a wonderful time, and I love being sometimes people's first contact point with the music department at Winona. I practice daily. I think for the last year I've spent about might not be able to tell, but like an hour a day-ish on accordion, at least that with voice and piano, depending on what I'm preparing, because it varies greatly with what's next on my schedule. So I've been doing a lot of the animal songs because I have that coming up in a couple weeks.
Okay, last question.
I have a theory that if more people made more music together, that, you know, the world would be a better place. There's like that runner's high that you get when you make a harmony with somebody.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, like, professionally, does that stick around in the students you teach and stuff? Is that still there?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there definitely have been moments, especially with my quartet, which is 4 treble voices, so it's 4 women singing in different harmonies, where something goes really well and I just want to, like, punch the air, but I can't because it's the middle of a concert. That's the other thing is, if you make music at all, you're a musician. There's no gate, there's no qualifier to how much money you have to make to call yourself a musician. Be a musician, play a thing. You don't have to be great at it. I'm not great at a lot of instruments. and I'm having a very, and it's a lot of fun. You're never too old to learn or find a friend, ask around. Sometimes there's one hanging out in an attic or a closet somewhere that you want, if you want to play something, do. Come talk to me, I'll help you find one.